Good evening, welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning Lilui Nishmas Miriam Fraud, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hosham, Miriam Neshama have an Aliyah in the merit of our Torah, and she should be an advocate of Torah for her whole family, her Besuras Tovos, and only Nachas Mibanim. So we are on page 149 of the second Sefer. So last time we did not actually learn inside, and I appreciate Nancy when it's apt me, and you never know how Shir is going to touch different people. My hearing aid battery might die in the middle of Shir. I just got a little ding. If it dies, I might have to take an intermission for a minute. Okay, we'll see. Anyway, you never know how Shir is going to affect different people. So, Nancy, what's at me after last week's Shir to say, or how it will touch other people to say, last night's Shir made a lot of sense to me. And I was very much divrei chizuk to know that our learning makes sense and that our learning is practical and applicable. So the point is that last time we did not do the Sefer inside because we had a Shir. We revisited the topic of, do I have free choice and does Hashem know what's going to happen? And the answer to both is yes. He is very much mashkiach in our lives. He directs everything, and yet we do have v'chira chafshi's free will. So we are on page 149 of the second Sefer, please. Okay. So what this really means is that you must live completely with Hashem. We'll just go back a paragraph to what we already did, just because, again, we haven't done inside the Sefer in 2 weeks, okay? So actually, let's start from the top. First full sentence on this page. We're just going to blinator. I'm not going to give insights, blinator. Mm-hmm. Just to read through so we remember what we're up to. Why are you laughing? Because it's going to say blinator?
Yeah, you're laughing. It's like, one step forward, 2 steps back.
That what?
One step forward, 2 steps back.
But it's not really 2 steps back. It's 1 step forward and then 2 more steps forward. Right, just right. A different path. It's a fork. But when you live with Emunah and you know Hashem prepared these tests for you with great precision. I'm sorry, I have to say something. Now you could say you were right. I'm saying something.
Okay.
I saw something beautiful. When you live with Emunah and know Hashem prepared these tests for you with great precision. I'm laughing at myself because I'm interrupting myself. You understand what I'm doing? Why I'm laughing? I said I'm going to be near non-interrupted. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? And Shani sort of laughed at me because in a nice way, because she knows I'm going to interrupt. I couldn't even get through a sentence. Here we go. I read something beautiful in Mishpacha 2 weeks ago, but I don't remember who wrote the article. It was a family first. In the beginning, they have on this parsha or chizek. I forget. Not the parsha piece, but I forget what the topic is. Sometimes Robertson Feiner writes for it, whatever. When you say the bracha, Sha'asali called Sarki, she quoted from a certain sefer. I don't even remember the sefer. I read it in Mishpacha. It was quoted from a sefer.
Shira Smiles, really.
Was it Shira Smiles? Thank you. So, thank you very much. So, I don't remember, do you remember which sefer she quoted? Sha'asali called Sarki is a bracha that we make every morning. Hashem made for me all my needs. Sarki can be broken up into Ki Tsar. Tzadi Reish. Tsar is sorrows, troubles. Chaf Yud, ki. So Sha'asali call tsar ki tsar. That even when it's difficult for me, Sha'asali ki tsar, that even when I'm going through times of pain and times of difficulty and times of tsars, I still have to be able to say Sha'asali, that the Ribbono Shel Olam made this situation for me, that God put me exactly in the situation. It's not just some Sha'asali called tsar ki, that he made for me all my needs. It's not such godless to say when everything is good, you made all my needs for me. Yeah, because then you feel very close to Hashem because he made all your needs for you. But what about ki tsar, and I'm going through tsaros, when it's hard for me to be able to stand up and say Sha'asali called tsar ki, that even ki tsar, even when it's hard for me, even when I'm in Nisaya, and even when I don't understand, you made this for me, that's the Gaza Brach. Isn't that beautiful? Was it the Shem Mishmo? It's possible. But it's a tremendous, tremendous word. And since I read it, thank you, it was Shira Smiles, I've really been thinking about it when I say the Bracha in the morning, because it's very, very impactful. That's really what you're thanking Hashem for, that yes, it's easy to thank him when it's good, but ki tsar, when it's difficult for me, tsaros, when I have troubles, when I have nisyonos, then to be able to say that Bracha. That's living with the Emunah and knowing Hashem prepared these tests with great precision. They're exactly for me, ki tsar. It's hard, but they're from you. And that they came to give you attainments that could not have been received any other way. I would not be the person I am without my nisyonos. You should know I really believe that about myself. I really do. I see that in my life. I don't think that a person ahead of time, if you show them the path and say, would you like this challenge, would you like that, Nisan, would you like this difficulty? But sometimes when you look back, you can say, I would not be this person without this Nisayan. You have attainments that would not have been received any other way. You will understand that you must include Hashem even in your tests and even in your failures, how to include him through tefillah, talk to Hashem, tell him it's hard for you. What this really means is you must live completely with Hashem. In other words, completely meaning when it's good, when it's hard, at all times. We find various kinds of sacrifices in the Torah. The Ola is the burnt offering. We spoke about that vis-a-vis Avraham Avinu. The Chatos is the sin offering. The Shlamim is the peace offering. It's interesting, in this week's Parashah, it's Parashah's Bo, we have the Korban Pesach. We have another offering that we are commanded to do. And how must you eat the Korban Pesach? It has to be completely burned in fire. It can't be na al tochal mimenu na. Don't eat it undercooked. Vashal mevushal. It can't be cooked in water. It can't be boiled. It can't be raw. It has to be totally burned over the fire. And really, I think that that's very interesting, and it's also very telling. The fact that the Korban Pesach, which symbolizes our freedom from slavery to redemption, which symbolizes our leaving Egypt, you take the whole animal, and it has to be suspended over the fire, and it has to be completely roasted over the fire. Its innards, its feet, its legs, you wash the innards, you put them back in, says Rashi, the whole thing has to be roasted over fire. And isn't that the truism of Knesset Yisrael, that through our journey we have been proverbially roasted over fire so many times, individually and so many times nationally, and yeah, Knesset Yisrael is still here. How is it possible we still exist? Shasali kol tzarki, that even when it is kitzar, even when it's difficult, look what emerges. Wow. There are sacrifices that a Yisrael may eat, and some from which he may not eat, because the Kohen eats part and the rest is for Hashem. The Ola is totally fresh, and we spoke about a case Yitzchak a couple of weeks ago. A korban is so-called based on the word kirva, closeness, and this is the root word of korban, of course. Karav means to be close to Hashem. When you understand there is no part of you that does not belong to Hashem, closeness must embrace all 248 limbs, all 365 sinews, so the entire part of yourself. That's represented really in the Korban Pesach, that it has to be totally burned, totally roasted, I should say. Not burned, roasted. You become like an ola to Hashem and can totally cleave to Him. I was looking in preparation for Seer in some of the sources in the Mikros Kedos to see if that there was something that would tie into these thoughts. So I didn't see anything in my preparation, but I did see something very nice. This is really just an aside. Why do you have to burn it? So one of the Mefarshim said you burn it so that the smell of the roasted meat would waft through Egypt and the Egyptians would smell it. And we would show them, we are burning your deity. We are roasting. I don't know why I keep saying burning. We are roasting your deity. Our God is the supreme God. It was Dafka so that they should smell and understand that Knesset Yisrael is eternal and the Ribbono Shel Olam is eternal. They tried and they tried and they tried to wipe us out and they were not successful. But if you include Hashem only in part of your affairs and exclude Him from part of your affairs, there are some people maybe who say, Hashem is in this part of my life. He's in my home part of my life. He's in my show part of my life. He's in my family part of my life. Work, that's different. I'm not saying that that's what we say. It's possible. Work, that's a different aspect of life. I don't take God to work with me. And vacation, I certainly don't take God to vacation with me. And when I go out for entertainment, I don't take God out with me then. So we have to know that that's not the right way. Whatever we do, we have to be usher and we have to be consistent. If I include Him in this, I have to include Him in that. Wherever I am, I have to include God in my life, no matter what I'm doing. I can't exclude Him, because then you don't have total closeness to Hashem. What kind of relationship is that, right? Sometimes I'm with you, sometimes I'm not with you. So really, what are you doing? It has to be always. Some people may have stress that a korban requires. Some people may stress, I'm sorry, that a korban requires teshuva, and this is true. But the question is, how does one come to teshuva? Okay, I want to take a break now from the sefer for a minute and talk about teshuva. Some people may stress a korban requires teshuva, right? You have to have kavana. There are certain korbanos that if you don't have the right kavana pigul, it's considered not valid because you didn't have the right thought process. You have to be thinking when you're doing this. You're doing an avodat Hashem. It's not just to go through the motions. It's to think, what am I doing? Just like when we daven, there's more to tefillah than just saying words. There has to be kavana. The question is, how does one come to teshuva? So I want to talk for a minute about teshuva. This is unbelievable. Just listen very carefully. I'm going to be quoting Rabbi Weinberger from Ish Kodesh. I ask you what teshuva means, what would you say? This isn't a trick question. If I asked you, most people would say teshuva means... Everyone's afraid to say something.
Sorry for what you did and...
Repenting.
Oh, so sorry, that's interesting, because if you would have asked me, I would have said to repent. Mm. One of two things, repent or return. Mm. That's typically what lahashiv Me'achor, to return something, or to, what did you say?
I was more along.
No, because I'm saying being sorry for what you did and
leads to repentance.
To the right thing. Yeah.
Okay, so.
But it needs both.
Okay, so let me tell you, this was so profound and so impactful. And a whole new way of looking at teshuva. Teshuva means to repent and to return. Lahashiv at hadavar al makom means to return it to the place. Typically, to repent means to return to God. So like you said, it's the same thing. I'm sorry, therefore I repent because I want to return to God. Why are you making that face?
Is it to cleanse?
It's what?
Is it to cleanse? Is it really to cleanse yourself?
A cleansing process?
Yeah.
So listen to this. So Rabbi Weinberger was, when we were in Los Angeles a few weeks ago for the West Coast Convention, the OU West Coast Convention, Rabbi Weinberger was there. He spoke a number of times over Shabbos, over the weekend. I heard all the speakers spoke a number of times in different venues. I heard him speak Friday night at the Tisch. There was a Tisch, and he spoke. He spoke for an hour. Very impactful. Listen to what he said. He's talking about teshuva. He says, what does teshuva mean? Typically, teshuva means to repent and return.
Someone's knocking?
Okay, thank you for hearing. That I for sure can't do. Is someone there? Well, wait one second, because I don't want her to miss the beginning, because she went up to do a mitzvah. So then I could have got up to do a mitzvah. Her wasn't still talking. Okay. Are they coming?
Yes.
Okay.
You made it for me, right?
Yes, because you did a mitzvah.
Oh,
I specifically said I'm gonna stop.
Thank you.
So, but then I said I should have gone to get the door if I wasn't talking anyway. But I didn't anticipate that I was gonna stop talking. Okay, so thank you for hearing her. Thank you, Hashem, for letting us hear. So, teshuva usually means is typically explained as to return and to repent to God. Shuvu banim shovavim. Erpem shuva sechem. It's one of the reasons that these weeks are called shovavim from that pasuk. Okay. So Rabbi Weinberger said, how could teshuva mean to return to God? So now you're going to say, of course it means to return to God. I sinned. No. Rabbi Weinberger said, you can't ever return to God because you never really left God. What does that mean? Even if you did a sin. Your neshama is a chelek el kaimima. Our neshama is a part of God. You probably know this pasuk. I don't say ad nauseum, that's the wrong word, but I'll by her like me because I quote it so many times. That was unkus, and then the pasuk. God blew into man the soul of life. So my neshama is a part of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everybody's neshama is a part of God. So Rabbi Weinberger said, you can't leave something that you're connected to. A baby attached by the umbilical cord can't say, I'm reconnecting to my mother. I'm not talking about after the birth. You're always connected. So what does it mean to Shuvah? You have to hear this. So to answer, he gives a mashal. Hey, watch. To answer, he gives it is a mashal, but it's a true story. He says, a couple comes to him. He calls them Rivka and Moshe. They come into the office, they need to see him. They sit down. No, they don't sit down. They walk in. Rivka's crying. Moshe's looking anywhere but at Rivka. He's looking at the wall. He's looking at the floor. He's looking at the rabbi. He's not looking at his wife. They sit down. Moshe's looking all over. Rivka's crying and crying. Rabbi Weinberger's pushing the tissues. He's saying, I'm going like this. And she's crying and he's looking. And they're saying, I'm going like this, closer, closer, the tissues. So he says, so tell me, Moshe, why are you here? So Moshe says, Rabbi, to tell you the truth, I really don't know why I'm here. She wanted me to come, says Rabbi Weinberger. He doesn't even name his wife. She wanted me to come. I don't know why I'm here, Rabbi. I get up in the morning, I go to Minyan, I go to work, I come home, I learn with the boys, I take out the garbage, I pay the bills. I don't know why I'm here. She's crying and crying. Rabbi Weinberger's pushing the tissues. Rivka, why are you here? So Rivka says, you know, Rabbi, it's true. Everything he says is true. He goes to Minyan, he goes to work, he pays the bills, he takes out the garbage, he learns with the boys. She says, but Rabbi, something's missing. What we had under the chuppah, what we stood under the chuppah, it's missing. The feeling is missing. The emotion is missing. The love is missing. We're just going through the motions, and she's crying, emotions looking anywhere but Rivka. Rabbi Weinberger said, this is so brilliant. Teshuva does not mean return. You never left. In the case of this couple, they're still married. I'm not talking about after the divorce. They're married. What does teshuva mean? Turn your head around and pay attention. Now, he was taking that mashal and talking about us vis-a-vis your relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But it works on both levels. Teshuva means, quote, turn your head around and pay attention. What does it mean to God? He says, so what does this mean to God? This Rivka, Moshe, mashal, true story, vinyah, and mashal. So we go to shul, we pick up the sitter, during Chazar Sashatz, we pick up our phone, we start scrolling, I have a very important message, I just have to see what it is, 1 second. And the kids need us, mommy, mommy, and we say, is our language says, 1 second, Sheifala, I just have to finish the text, it's very important. And we're scrolling, and we're checking, and we're on the web page. What does teshuva mean? It's brilliant. It doesn't mean return. You can't return to something you never left. It means turn your head around and pay some attention. Why is Rivka crying? Why is Ribbono Shel Olam crying? Why are we in galus? Because Ribbono Shel Olam says, Zecharti lechesed nu'urayach. Ahavas kilu lachsayach. Rashi quotes it on these parshas. Rashi just quoted on parshas, but lachtach acharei b'midbar b'arzul zeru'a. What do those words mean? Zecharti lechesed nu'urayach. I remember the chesed of your youth. Ahavas kilu lachsayach. The love when you were my kala. Ribbono Shel Olam says, what happened to us? I remember when we were just married. I remember when we were dating. Yetzias Mitzrayim. I remember the excitement, the passion. You wanted to go after me. The kala will go anywhere the chassan wants to go. She understands. She doesn't understand. He says, just trust me. She says, I trust you. We came to the chuppah. We're coming up to. We crossed Beshalach. She goes after wherever he wants to go. She goes. And we're coming to Parshas Yisro. And we're coming to Zman Maton Torah Seinu. And what was Zman Maton Seinu? A chuppah. It was a chuppah. Kafalim Har Kigigis was the chuppah and the shtar. The ksuba was the Aseres HaDibros and the Torah. And the Ribbono Shel Olam was the chassan. And Klal Yisro was the kala. And we got married. And it was so exciting. There was never such a wedding like you saw. The mountains decorated in flowers. There's a sound and light show like no one today could produce. And we saw the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he comes out to meet us, and we're in such love. What happened? We're not paying attention. We didn't leave God, because no Jew can leave the source. You're connected by a metaphoric, proverbial, metaphysical, emotional, spiritual, umbilical cord. What's teshuva? We're not paying attention. Just like Moshe doesn't understand why she's crying. He says, I do everything she wants me to do. What's wrong? Rabbi, why am I here? I don't even know why I'm here. She wanted to come. And she says he does do everything. But something's missing. What's missing? Karban, karav, va'ani kirvas Elokim li tov. We're going through all the motions, but are we really paying attention? Not only to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but are we paying attention to the people in our lives? And it's perhaps in our day and age, in our generation, the most difficult challenge of our times. And since Brias HaOlam, and I am not saying this lightly, the most difficult, they've had other difficulties. There's the time period of Avodah Zarah, there's the time period of Mechamas, and time of Noach, they're full of robbery, and the time by Sheni, there's Sin Eschinim. There's a specific problem today. There's a specific unique to the times and the technological advancements. There's a whole different problem. At least if you hate someone, you pay attention to them. I'm not condoning it. I'm not recommending it. But you know the person exists. Our Amiga says, 1 second, Sheifala. Mommy, mommy, mommy. 1 second. I just need to finish. It's a very important email. I'm also talking to Michal Aretz. Believe me, I'm talking to Michal Aretz. I spoke in L.A., one of the places, oh no, it was the time I was there for the Yula Shabbaton, 3 weeks before the OU West Coast Convention. So I was talking to the girls, the YULA Girls High School Shabbaton. It was the whole school, most of the school. So I was talking to them about the challenges of technology. I said, I don't wear a burqa, I don't live in a mountain, I'm not recommending you get rid of your phones, that's not the way the world works. I said, anyone who tells you they don't have these challenges either does not have a device or they're lying. Mm. Those are the two choices. Because the minute we put it in our hands, we're already not paying attention on some degree. You're not paying attention. They've done studies. Because I was preparing for the girls. That was in November. So if it's on, mine's a recorder. So my brain's already programmed. When it's on recorder mode, it doesn't like, I know nothing's coming through. But when it's on the table, it's been statistically proven by studies. When it's on the table and it's not, you're not using it. It's just there. Knowing it's there while you're in the middle of a conversation with someone already lowers your concentration from the other person. It already brings you down a notch because you're aware that you could be getting a ping. Maybe someone's going to text me. Maybe it's going to be a very boring text. Just having it there. And it's a challenge unique to our times that no generation before us has ever faced. I didn't grow up with this. Did you grow up with this? I never grew up with this. There's no such thing. You can never get away. So it doesn't mean return. It means turn your head around and pay attention. And that's why Rivka's crying. And that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam is crying. And that's why Yerushalayim is crying. Al-Eli, Ani-Bochia, Eini, Eini, Yardamai, Ki Rachok Mimeni Meshiv Nafshi. What does Yerushalayim say? Ki Rachok Mimeni Meshiv Nafshi. What does that mean? The comforter of my soul is far from me, far from me, far. What does that indicate? Far. There's a total disconnect in our day and time. You're going to say something. I see. Go ahead.
Well, two things that I'm thinking about in terms of the phone, the good and all technology. The good news is that once a week for 25 hours you have to turn it off.
And we're very fortunate.
It is away from you. And just and another thing, and this is just something that I've started to do, and I'm not telling everybody else to do it, but I do it. Yesterday I paid a Shiva call to somebody, and whenever I just got into the habit of this, that whenever I go into a Shiva house, I turn my phone on vibrate. It stays in my pocketbook because I'm
don't
like,
take it out.
You know, I don't take it out. There is no.
That's because I was saying pay attention. There's a person. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm saying you're reiterating what we're saying.
Yeah, there's no like if there is an emergency, like it's not. Could there be an emergency? Yes, there could be, but what good is it going to do me
while you're in the middle of
at a Shiva house? I'll deal with it when I'm out in the car.
So the first thing you said, I want to reiterate that obviously there's a lot of good. Someone said to me before Shir how much she appreciates that it gives me chizak that I repost the link after Shir because that evening, the next evening when she's cooking for Shabbat, she likes to review Shir. So of course there's so much good. For someone like me with a hearing loss, it's a bracha. It's a bracha. Thank you, Hashem. It makes my life so much easier. It makes the people with whom I have to communicate their lives so much easier. It helps people with disabilities. You know that there's an app called Be My Eyes. I don't have it. It's for blind people. And what it is seeing people sign up for this app and blind people call, whatever, the seeing person, if they're available, answers the app. And they show you on the phone whatever they need help with. What color is my shirt? What size is this dress?
Oh, wow.
Someone told me they got, I forget where me and my husband, it must have been LA, where someone was telling us about this, I think, maybe not. Maybe it was in New Rochelle, I don't remember. So someone got a call, maybe it was in New Rochelle, and Joanna's not here tonight. She would know because she was at the table. So someone got a call from a diabetic, like, could you read my glucose meter or whatever it's called? So clearly, I'm not saying that there's, that's why I said to the girls in LA, I'm not saying we should throw these away from me. It would make my life very, 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 my son was at the dentist, I text with the receptionist. It would make my life very difficult. But we have to also be intellectually honest and understand that for every step forward, especially with this, there's two steps back, and it really does draw our attention away from people. And that's what teshuva means. Turn your head around and pay attention vis-a-vis the people in our lives and vis-a-vis the Rabban Shalom. Rabbi Aram says, so often he says, you're in shul. He says, I'm in shul. He says, how many people are going like this? How many people are scrolling? How many people are checking a text? How many people are just sending? What do we say to our children? It's a very important email. So what do we say to God? 1 second. It's Zman Kriya Shema. 1 second. It's a very important email. That's Rabbi Weinberger said. It's one of the most brilliant interpretations of Teshuvah I have ever heard. You can't disconnect ever from God, no matter how far you are. You're still, you might be kirachok mimeni meshiv nafshi, so it might be a very long rope, but you're still connected. But what are you doing? Looking everywhere like Moshe, but at the Ribon Sha'olam in your life. And it's a very strong, it's for us, for me, for everybody. Unbelievable. Any questions or comments? Or what we just had? Okay, a lot of food for thought. Bottom of page 149. Okay, so now let's start the sentence again. Some people may stress that a carbon requires teshuvah. Bottom of page 149, ladies. And that is true. But the question is, how does one come to teshuvah? So we just gave one very powerful pshat. Something that we should all try. Please, Hashem, help me implement in my life. So Nancy says, it's funny, Nancy says, it's not an emergency. You know what I say, Nancy? Mashiach didn't come, Micha. When I don't check my phone and I'm fighting with my Yitzhar, I say, no, I'm not going to check my phone. I tell myself, if Mashiach would have come, you would have known a different way. It's not, Mashiach's not here. So therefore, just leave it. If you are alone during your falls and do not include the Creator, you will never reach Him. So this can be applied to the topic of this evening as well. Let's say you resolve not to check, not to check, not to check. The kid comes home from school, and what do you find yourself saying? 1 second. I just need to finish. It's work, it's Bubby, it's Abba, 1 second. But there's a person in front of you.
Yeah.
But you're talking to what? A phone. Oy lanu ki chatanu, manomar umanedaber. I'm talking to myself. What am I going to say about a person? 1 second, it's Bubby, it's Abba. It's not Mashiach. What should you do? You fell. You came to the shir, you screamed at yourself. I'm talking to myself. And then the next day, the kid comes home from school and you do the same thing. Maybe my children should text me to get my attention. What should I do? If you're alone during your falls and do not include the Creator, then you can never reach Him. So what do you need to say to Hashem in the moment of your fall? What does Hani say? Who remembers the most impactful thing I learned from the Hani Machas book? I've said it so many times. Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach. He was punished because
he didn't ask
Didn't ask Hashem to help him change. Mm-hmm. Korach was born Korach. Korach was jealous. Korach, one of his first cousins. Korach had an ayin ra. Korach had kavod, a desire for kavod, honor. Tkina, taiva. That's who he was. So why was he punished? They can't blame me for my midos. So and he says he wasn't punished because he was Korach. That's how the Ribbono Shel Olam made him. He was punished because he didn't ask Hashem for help. So I have a certain taiva. I have a certain failing. I have a certain weakness. And this generation in which we live, it's so hard. We have so many failings because it's a hard generation. It's really a hard generation. But what should you do in the moment in which you find yourself falling? What do you need to say? Hashem, right now, I'm falling. That doesn't mean you're disconnected. We have a misconception. We think that fall means disconnect from God. You're still connected, says Rabbi Weinberger. You can't disconnect from something that you're always connected to. He's the source. So what do you need to say? You have to include Hashem in the fall. I'm falling. Help me. I'm in the middle. You recognize it's a fall. You gave me this Yetzer Hara. That's what you have to say to Hashem. You made the Yetzer Hara. If not, you will never reach Him. The Admar, Rabbi Moshe of Kobrin, we used to say, a person, the Rabbi Moshe of Kobrin, I've seen that spelled K-O-B-R-I-N. This is the first time I saw it with a U. It doesn't matter. A person who Chas V'Shalom has fallen by committing a real sin. But look at this. And cannot immediately go and speak to Hashem, has not entered the gateway of Chassidus. You know what Godless said is, what's the biggest victory of the Yetzer Hara? It's not the sin, it's what happens after the sin. What happens after the sin?
Make you feel like you're a loser.
What?
Make you feel like you're a loser.
Exactly. Exactly. We all, if you're an intellectually honest person, everyone feels that. What happens after? That's the victory of the Yetzer Hara. It's not that you sin. It's that after, you're so stupid. How could you do that? You've tried 100 times. You'll never be successful. You think now Hashem wants to hear from you? Now you're going to go daven mincha? Now after you sent a text while your kid's trying to talk to you and you gave a shir about how you shouldn't do that, now you're going to go say, slach lanu avinu ki chatanu, machal lanu avinu ki pashanu. Now God doesn't want to hear from you. The biggest victory of the Yetzer Hara is that He convinces you to distance yourself even more from the Ribbono Shel Olam post sin. How could God want to hear from you now? You're a sinner. Rav Moshe of Kobrin, Zuchus HaYagaleinu, would say, a person who, Chas V'Shalom, I want to review the last line on page 149 again. Please look at it again. A person who, Chas V'Shalom, a person, God forbid, who has fallen by committing a real sin. You really did something wrong, okay? You really, it's not imagine. You're not going overboard. You're not being machmir, Shabbat machmir. You did a sin. And you cannot immediately go speak to Hashem, has not entered the gateway of Chassidus. You have not entered the gateway of the pious. The pious person is one who's, again, please be very careful. We're not condoning sin and failure, but it happens. It happens. We are real people. It's what happens after. And also what happens during. Hashem, I know I just did something wrong. I didn't want to do something wrong. I made a mistake. Help me. Pick me back up. Let me be close to you. It's the disconnect that is the greatest victory of the evil inclination. Two vignettes from Rav Aaron Leibsteinman, which are just Lamal Min HaTeva, because he was Lamal Min HaTeva. I just finished the biography. I'm quoting for a minute. Amekasis. Everybody should read this. Oh my gosh. He was Nifter last year, Chaf Dalet Kislev. This Chaf Dalet Kislev, Tavshin Ayin Tas, was his first year type. A bacher once asked Rav Aaron Leib, listen to this. I'm talking about a gaon and a gadol who hold up the whole world. It's like, not in our world. A bacher asked Rav Aaron Leib to recommend a musr sefer. How do you translate musr?
We know what it means.
What?
We know what it means.
Okay. A musr sefer is...
rebuke.
What? Introspection, self-improvement. To recommend a book of self-improvement that would help him improve his midos, his character traits. Rav Aaron Leib replied, do you think I have a classified sefer the Yetzer Hara doesn't know about? It doesn't matter which Musar sefer you learn from. The main thing is you have to have a serious desire to improve your midos, your character traits. If you try to improve, you'll be able to unflank the Yetzer. I'm going to repeat it. A bacher asked him, which musar sefer? He wants to improve his character. He wants to improve his traits. He wants to not be like Korach. He wants to be a better person. So he came and he said to God Adar, which musar sefer should I learn from? Aaron Leib said, do you think I have a classified sefer that the Yetzer Hara doesn't know about? It doesn't matter which sefer you learn from. The main thing is you have to have a serious desire to improve. If you try, you'll be able to outflank the Yetzer. Why? Because then the Ribbono Shel Olam will help you. One more, 1 second. I love it. You think I have a classified Musar Sefer? I went to the wrong page. Many years later, a grandson asked Rav Aaron Leib, he grew up in Brisk. A grandson asked Rav Aaron Leib, since you learned in several different yeshivas in Brisk, in Europe, and elsewhere, and you learned with Simcha Zelig, the Dayan of Brisk, who do you consider your primary Rebbe? Are you listening carefully? Rav Aaron Leib sighed deeply. Unfortunately, he replied, for me, my primary Rebbe is the Yetzer Hara, and I am always trying to get rid of him. Okay. Turn the page 150. This is the point. In order for you to bring even your negative component to Hashem, your Yetzer Hara, and your failings, and your Korach-like tendencies, and your impatience, and your lack of attention to the Ribbono Shel Olam and the people in our lives, you must include Hashem in all your affairs without exception. So that means when it's hard, Shasali called Tzarki. What are we saying? I think it was the Shem Yishmu, I'll quote it by Shira Smiles, but I could be wrong about the Sefer, but I think. Sha'asali ki tsar. What are you telling Hashem? You know, it's very hard for me this morning. Yesterday was a hard day, but I know, Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you, Hashem, the King of the world, that I know, Sha'asali, you made this matzav exactly for me. Even when it's ki tsar, it's called tsar ki. Include Hashem in everything, without exception. For example, at times, heretical thoughts may enter when it's mine, chas v'sham. A person naturally rejects them. He's going to give the most extreme example. This certainly doesn't happen to every single person, and it is not necessarily frequent even among those who do suffer from them. But the phenomenon does occur. Let's say a person has a heretical thought, chas v'sham. So he's really talking about an extreme case here, okay? We're not talking about a different sin. This is like the sin of Chalil v'chas denying. This is a kofar b'ikar. is someone who denies God. The first of the Seres Hadibros, upon which the entire Torah is founded, is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. What kind of mitzvah is that? It's a dibur, it's a statement, it's a mitzvah l'ha'amin b'Hashem. So here, let's say a person says, perhaps there's no creator. But of course, you will immediately push that out of your mind. You will say, oh my gosh, how could I have just said that? Chas v'sham, I didn't say that. What is the proper way to act in such cases? So what should you do? This is the most extreme case. This wasn't a sin. You know there's Hashem, but Mamela Ribbono Shel Olam, we're weak. Mamela I sin. Please help me. This is, maybe there's no creator. God forbid. God forbid. Maybe you thought that. Well, I'm going to stand and speak to Hashem. So even when you're at the point of denying there's Hashem, what are you doing?
Speaking to Hashem.
I want to tell you this. This is in the Torah. One of the most impactful things that I learned in this Sefer, I still remember, we learned many, many things related to the Sefer, but one specific thing in the Sefer is the Mechaberites. We must have learned this years ago. Inside every person, I should have marked the page when I read it. I don't remember, but it's from this Sefer. Inside every person is every biblical personality. That's what he says. That means that we all have the anivus of Moshe, but we all have the gaiva of Korach. We all have the chesed of Avram, but we all have the stinginess of Lo. Inside every person is every biblical personality. So this idea that while a person could not believe in Hashem, and at the same time you could what?
Talk to him.
What?
Talk to him.
Okay, is exactly illustrated in Paro. The first thing Paro says when Moshe comes on the scene, chapter 5, verse 2, Parakei, Pasuk Beis, the first thing, okay? We had Moshe at the snap, Parak Gimel, Parak Dalet, Moshe goes back, Yisro, I'm leaving, the whole incident at the hotel, Susan, he goes back to Egypt, and he has an audience with Pharaoh, and Paro says, quote, Mi Hashem asher ashma bekolo l'shalach es Yisrael. What does Paro say? Who is God that I, Mr. Balgaiva, should listen to him? I do not know Hashem, and I will not send forth Israel. This is the first thing he says. Tells us a lot about Paro. What does it tell us? He's the deity. He goes to the bathroom in the reverse because he is not a human being. In fact, I read an unbelievable pshah. Why did he let his daughter, Baya, keep this baby? It had to be a Jewish baby. The first thing she says is, I'm saying the Pasuk totally in backwards, or talking about forward and backwards. The whole thing was backwards, but fine. She has mercy, a child is crying, she has mercy. She knows immediately. So why does he let her keep the baby? Rabbi Ari Khan explains, she names him Moshe. She presents it as such. She comes home to Pharaoh, and they believe in many gods, and there's certainly the river god. The Nile is the most mighty river in Egypt. And she says, this child is a present from the river god. He is a child of the river god. So Pharaoh says, wow, what a better child for our home than a child of the river god. I am God. There's a sun god. My daughter is the daughter of God. And here is a child born from the river. It's very, very fascinating. Why did I bring that up? Paro says, I don't know God. I don't know him. Who is Hashem that I should listen to him? I do not know Hashem. If you look through the parashas of Va'era and Bo, last week and this week, and then 10 Makos, you will see a fascinating phenomenon. What do you see about Paro? Repeatedly, in the throw of the Makkah. What?
To tell Hashem to make the Makkah stop.
More than tell Hashem to make the Makkah stop. Ha'atiru al Hashem ba'adai. Ba'adiu ba'adami. Multiple times, through multiple makos, he asks Moshe says, when should I daven for you? When I leave the city, I'll spread my hands. Inside every person is every biblical personality. So how could it be that the same person who says, I don't know Hashem, I never heard of him, I don't know him, I don't accept him, he doesn't exist, mi Hashem asher ashma b'kolo, I shall listen to him. Lo yadati Hashem b'feirish, that's his introduction to Moshe, could say to Moshe, could you please daven for me? Does that make any sense? It's a total stira. The same person who says there's no God says pray to God. What God? You don't even believe in God. You believe in the river God who gave you this godly child. You believe you're yourself a god. You want Moshe to daven to a god you don't believe in, you don't know? So sometimes a person could feel very distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't know where you are in my life. I don't understand what you're doing. Mi Hashem. Maybe we say, where are you, Hashem? Maybe we say in the throw of an Yisrael, Lo Yadati is Hashem. What does it mean? I don't see Rachamim. I don't see mercy. Lo Yadati, I do not know as Hashem, the Rachamei Shemayim. It's very hard for me. But at the same time, the very same person, i.e. myself, could say, I don't know what's going on here. I don't feel so close to Ribbono Shel Olam. How do we do the next day, or the next afternoon, or the next minute? You pick up a Sefer Tehillim. You talk to the very God who you're wondering where he is in your life. Inside every person is every biblical personality. This is part of the human experience and the human condition. There are times, Vayarsa Makom Mirechok. We spoke about that a few years ago, but maybe it was here, maybe it was a different class, I have no idea. About Avram Avinu and the Akedah. Hamakom Mirechok. God at that time was very, Avram perceived that Hamakom, the Ribbono Shel Olam, was distant from him. I'm going to Shecht my son. Where is God? But I'm going. The same Paro says, I don't know Hashem. And maybe in us that exists to a different degree. We are bewildered by nisyonos. We are pained by matzavim we hear. We say, ki tsar. We also sometimes say, where are you, Ribbono Shel Olam? What do? And we say, where's Hashem? We pick up a siddur and we daven. We pick up a tehillim. And we say, mima'amakim karsicha Hashem. You know what I'm doing? I'm in the depths of my pain. You know what I'm doing when I don't know where you are in my life? I'm calling out to the very one whose presence I may not feel right now. Wow. The same one who says, Lo Yadati is Hashem, is the same one who says, could you please daven for me? It's unbelievable. What is the proper way to act in such a case? Well, I'm going to stand and speak to Hashem. Just tell him everything. Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the world. I suddenly had a thought. You might not exist, but who sent me that thought? You sent it. Remember, we spoke for the past 2 weeks about Hashem controlling our thoughts. Why? Obviously, not so that I would accept it, but so I would reject it and stop thinking about it. But it is clear to me you were the one who sent me that heretical thought. It is clear it was your will that I should remove it from my mind. So what does this really mean practically, the Maisa? How can you say to Hashem, Hashem, I'm having this negative thought. Help me through it. It's not a cause for further disconnect. It's a catalyst for further connection. Instead of allowing the negativity to remove us further from God, Hirachok mimeni meshiv nafshi, what should we do? Use it as a springboard to come back, to pay attention, to get closer to Hashem. In other words, not only a thought that represents a fall in one's avodah, but even what seems to be the worst possible thought. The thought of Paro. The worst possible thought is Lo Yadati Es Hashem. The worst possible thought is Mi Hashem. Even that can be used to come close to Hashem. There isn't a creator, which is a thought not at all from the world of Kedusha, but from the world of emptiness, must be taken and returned to the creator. So you take every thought, every difficulty, every failing, every lack of attention to the person in front of you, say, Hashem, you have to help me out of this. I failed. I know I did the wrong thing. The child's standing there, and I'm saying, 1 second, Shayfala, says Rabbi Weinberger. But don't use that as an excuse to go further away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Use it as a springboard to come closer to him. How? By including him in your fall. It's a very empowering method for Avodas Hashem. Because the biggest tactic of the Yetzer Hara is not the fall. It's what happens after the fall. That's where we have to bring Hashem. Let's just finish. It is written, know today, we've quoted this pasuk so many times, much previously in Shir. Know today and bring it to your heart. Hashem is the supreme God. This is from Aleinu. How do we close out the whole tefillah shachris and the whole tefillah smincha and the whole tefillah arvis with this pasuk in Aleinu? Is the supreme God in the heavens and above on the earth ain od? As I'll explain, what is the meaning of A and O? Even in the empty space of creation, that's where there is nothing else but Hashem. In our context, this means one should bring Hashem into every aspect of our life. There should be no aspect of life in which he is not included. Whether it's my success, my failure, the greatest danger is not to include Hashem in my failure. It's easy to include him in my success. Stand up and say, Hodu Hashem Kitov Kilom Chasto. It's fantastic. In your failure, in your times of happiness, and in times of sadness, Hashem is to be included in every aspect of our lives, even ad kadei kach, that when we feel like a paro on that day, at the same time we wonder where he is, we pick up the siddur, we open our heart, we recite a kapitel of Tehillim, and we say, Hashem, be with me in the most difficult time. It's very, very impactful. Yes, Chai was doing first. Yeah. Wait, you have to talk louder, please. You're going to try. Nancy will help me.
Two things. So, a lot of times people say, I'm just bad at it, or I'm not good at it, or they give themselves these excuses.
Their reputation precedes them to themselves.
Right, I'm just bad at it, or if you know me, I always procrastinate.
Okay, so?
I'm just saying that's a method of the Yetzer Hara.
100%.
Oh, yes.
I just had this with one of my children, actually, in a certain subject in school, and the child was very frustrated. We were trying to explain that there's been a self-imposed glass ceiling. It's very interesting you bring this up. I can't do it. I don't get it. I'm not good at it. I don't understand, but I can't. So I said, should we bring up the book, The Little Engine That Could? I'm not joking. How did he get over the mountain? Because no matter how many breaks downs and how heavy and how much it was overloaded, the little engine that could always said, I think I can. And when he gets over the mountains, he says, I thought I could. And I didn't go into the Daiva Hosa of Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel and Rav Gedalia Finkel. It wasn't the appropriate time for it. But Rav Gedalia Finkel was masked with his brother, the Gaon Rav Nassim Tzvi, Zecher Tzadik Kashel Vracha. And he says his brother never had a self-imposed glass ceiling. By the Melachas HaMishkan, the contributions to the Mishkan, the call went out. It says that the Hamalacha Haisa Dayam vahoser. Dayam, there was enough contribution. Vahoser, there was extra. Either you have enough or you have extra. If you have 3 cups of flour, you have 3 cups of flour. If you have extra, you have 3.5 cups of flour. Was it day or was it hoser? Rav Gedalia Finkel said about his brother, Rav Nassim Tzvi, that when it came to the point of day and he felt it was enough, he always pushed himself to do a little bit more. Vahoser. You're right. That's absolutely the design of the HR. I can't. I've never been successful. I won't be able to. Why try now? Yeah, and Shani also wants to say something.
Rebbetzin Feiner spoke about this similar topic, and she quoted from Mechtav Meliyahu, and she said, you could lose the battle, but still win the war.
So that's Rav Yitzchak Kotner.
Yeah, maybe.
In his classic letter, Pachad Yitzchak, he wrote to a Talmud, that in Avodas Hashem, it's lose the battle, but win the war. I think we've done that letter this year, I don't remember. Yeah.
Oh, just to piggyback, if you read any stories about people who are very successful, people who, people in the top 1% of their careers, people who don't give up and people who don't think that something's impossible, they don't set limits for themselves. They live in a limitless...
They don't set themselves up for failure.
They fail. They keep trying.
No. I didn't say that they don't fail. I said they don't set themselves up.
They don't limit themselves by failure.
Okay, fine.
Learn from failure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But what I was going to say before, to finish up with Paro, how he didn't, who's Hashem, that I should listen to him, and then daven for me. Hashem answered him at the end
of the
day.
Very nice.
So.
Beautiful. Every time Moshe daven, the Makkah went away. Beautiful. Even on Rosh Hashanah, so how much that should be mechazek. That's beautiful. Thank you very much. Even as rishus, as, that was the bad grammatical structure, as extreme as his rishus was and his denial of God, when he said daven for me, Moshe daven, what happened? Malchus went away. By Barad, by Arba, it's unbelievable. It's, by Tzfardeya, it's unbelievable. He's always saying Moshe daven. How can you tell me you don't believe in God? Yeah? And Hashem answered him, beautiful. Yemalei Hashem, kol mishalos libenu, letova, amen, amen. Thank you, ladies.